Commodore Jack Romanoff stared at the ruined quantum drive and gritted his teeth. This took a bad situation and made it much, much worse. They'd been in decent shape until the last minute of the battle over New Copenhagen when the Locusts rammed his battleship en masse. Now they were in the direst straits they'd been in since the invasion started. "It looks pretty bad, Kelly," he said over his vacuum suit's comm. "Tell me there's a light at the end of the tunnel."
"There is, sir," Commander Kelly Danik, Hunter's chief engineer, said from beside him. "But I'm afraid it's an oncoming grav train with an engineer that's late for dinner. As my grandmother used to say, there's no fixing something once you let the magic purple smoke out."
He turned to face her, ignoring the people moving purposefully through the engineering compartment who were fixing what they could and assessing what they couldn't. "That's a very evocative saying, but what does it mean?"
"We could probably repair almost all the damage to the drive with the assistance of the people on New Copenhagen, but the quantum core is toast. There's no access to any of the exotic elements we'd need to rebuild it, and without it, this drive is nothing but a pile of mechanical parts."
"And we can't just recover the exotic elements from the damaged unit?" he asked, pushing the despair he felt away. They'd find an answer. They had to. She shook her helmeted head.
"No, sir, there's a method to refining and layering the core, and we have no way to recreate it. Worse, even if we could, any mistakes would have catastrophic repercussions. The Navy never expected we'd need to build our own independent quantum drive. They expected us to use parts from the depot, so we're screwed."
Jack resisted the urge to sigh, but that was about what he'd expected to hear. Without any operable quantum gates in the system, Hunter had been the only ship capable of making the jump to another system in a reasonable time frame. Now they were trapped, and it was only a matter of time until the Locusts found and destroyed them. That brought his attention to the alien hyperdrive they had recovered from the large Locust vessel they'd salvaged. "I know the professor suggested we could use that thing, but how realistic is that?" Alan Prescott, the director of the Locust War Historical Society and the resident Locust expert, had once been an academic and preferred the title of professor. "All I can say is that I've put that drive back together exactly how we disassembled it," Kelly said. "If it worked before, then maybe it can work again. We've got power ready to run to it, and the computer system it was connected to is here. The alien prisoners might be able to give us some clues, but can we trust anything they tell us?"
"Probably not," Jack admitted. "They built the machines trying to conquer us, so we have no reason to give them the benefit of the doubt. Still, if you can't fix the independent quantum drive, we don't have much choice, do we?"
She turned to face him and smiled through her faceplate.
"Actually, we do. The mothership Dr. Wilson and her people recovered would make an excellent testbed. It's intact, except for its computer system. I wouldn't risk our ship, but we can use the mothership if we have to test the technology."
"It doesn't have a computer core, and we don't dare plug the one the professor cracked into it, or it would attack us," Jack argued. "Without that, how do you intend to use it?"
She crossed her arms and grimaced.
"We'd be guessing, but from what I saw of that drive when it was removed for study, it looked like it has only two states, on or off. We can't assume that's true of the big one. With a duality like that, we can install manual controls for a pilot to engage the hyperdrive and at least see what it does. It would be risky, but it's not out of the question."
Jack was inclined to shoot the idea down, but they really were in a bind. If they couldn't get what they needed to make Hunter operational again, they were dead. It might take months for the sentence to be executed, but it would be inevitable.
"Let's say that works," he said, giving in to the idea. "Since we know the motherships travel at about 10 times the speed of light, we're still talking months of travel time to get to Port Royal, not even counting the return trip. Perhaps as much as 5 months total, if I remember correctly. While the mothership is pretty big, we won't be able to put enough life support aboard to keep someone alive for that length of time."
"I'm only talking about turning it into a test bed to start working with the technology. If we don't know how anything works, we'll never be able to start deciphering what we can about the larger unit."
"I see your point, but as you said, this could be dangerous. What are the potential downsides?"
"Instant and immediate failure," she said promptly.